Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence in this place, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I invite you to have your bulletins open to page 2 with the psalm as we begin our sermon. Our scripture readings today include some incredible stories. They grab your attention with their action. A valley of dry bones coming back to life. Jesus weeping. A dead man being called out of his tomb. We all appreciate a great story, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, whether it be in writing in a book, or on the stage in a play, or on the screen, small screen or large screen. We love stories. One of the things that makes a story truly great are the masterful twists of the artist or the author, the surprises, the developments that you don't expect. A frequent twist that occurs in great stories is the surprise that someone who was thought to be dead reappears in the story alive. It might be a villain who just won't die. It may be a joyful surprise that a character wasn't dead after all, but is alive. I can think of numerous examples as I think of stories and movies. But one stands out for me apart from all of the others as the ultimate. I experienced it roughly 43 years ago in the movie theater. Some of you, many of you experienced it there, but many experienced it through video. You'll know it as you hear just two sounds and one word. Luke. I am your father. Right. We know that. Luke's father, who is believed to be dead, is not only alive, but is alive as Luke's enemy. He who is dead is brought back into the story in a massive twist, alive. This is the theme that runs through our scripture readings today. Life from death. In our psalm, the author begins crying out to the Lord, "Out of the deep, I call to you, O Lord." Other translations translate, "out of the depths," or "out of the depths of peril." When you think of depths in the Jewish mindset, the depths of the sea or depths of the earth, it doesn't matter. "Out of the deep" suggests deep misery, deep despair, the throes of death, or great peril. The author cries out to God for help and for mercy. Verse 4, we see the psalmist knows the Lord. The Lord knows that the Lord is full of forgiveness, and he fears him, he reveres him, he worships the Lord. The psalmist in verse 5 waits for the Lord, looking for the Lord's help. And in verse 7, the psalmist declares, "For with the Lord is mercy and plentiful redemption." Mercy is translated in many other translations, steadfast love. For with the Lord is steadfast love, mercy, plentiful redemption. Verse 8, ultimately redemption from sin. So here the psalmist, he waits for the Lord. He waits to be redeemed from death to life. He hopes in God's word, in God's promises. He waits for redemption from the depths of his despair and of his misery, ultimately wanting to be redeemed by God's merciful forgiveness of his sins. There's the theme. He wants to go from death to life. Turn now to the next page. where Ezekiel 37 continues our theme, life from death. Ezekiel was a prophet who prophesied to Israel during their exile in Babylon. They had been removed from Jerusalem, many of them. Recall, they were exiled. They were removed from the Holy Land because of their disobedience to the Lord, because of their idolatry, because of their sin. God gives Ezekiel in chapter 37 a vision where he's in a valley of death. It's a valley full of bones, very many bones that were very dry. That indicates they've been dead for a long time. Verse 4. The Lord calls Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. The Lord says he will bring them to life. The prophesy is the Lord will cause breath to enter you. Verse 6. The Lord will put breath in you. And you shall live. Now the Hebrew word for breath here is ruach. Say that with me. Ruach. Ruach is translated through the Old Testament a couple ways. It has a couple meanings. It's translated spirit, as in the Spirit of God. It's translated wind. Well, here in Ezekiel 37... it's translated spirit in verse 1 and in verse 14, referring to the Spirit of God. In verse 9, it's translated winds. But every other time, it's translated breath. The same word, ruach. Ruach appears 10 times in these 14 verses. So, we can pay attention and see that the Spirit of God is active in this short passage. Verse 7. Ezekiel obediently speaks God's message to the bones. And they come together, bone to bone, gaining flesh, becoming bodies, but lacking life. Can you imagine how CGI would do that nowadays? Incredible imagery and gripping reading. A pile of bones reassembling before Ezekiel's eyes. Sinews first, then muscles, then flesh, then skin. But they're not yet alive. Verse 9. At God's direction, he prophesies again for the Ruach to breathe on these bodies that they may live. Ezekiel does. And now they come to life. Now, what does this all mean? This imagery was meant for God's people. Look at verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now stop there. The whole house of Israel is all of his people. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we are members of the whole house of Israel. We are members of God's people. So this is for us. Read along with me. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you. And you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. God's message to His people is that the Lord will redeem His people from their sin. He will open their graves, indicating that they're dead because of their sin. He will raise them up to life again and put His Spirit in them. Our theme, life from death, envisioned in Psalm 130, is now illustrated in Ezekiel's vision. And now we turn, literally, turn the page. Now we turn to the real life version of life from death in John chapter 11. Now we didn't read the whole passage here. I encourage you to read it in full. We abbreviated it a little bit. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were beloved friends of Jesus. And in verse 3, it's reported to Jesus that the one whom you love, Lazarus, is very sick. In verse 4, Jesus declares, this illness will not end in death. But he stays where he is 2 more days. He's not in a rush to get there. We fast forward then, as we read this morning, to verse 17. As Jesus arrives and discovers that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now that's a significant detail. Because in antiquity, in history, there are reports of those thought to be dead after a day or 2 days or even 3 days coming back to life and coming out of the grave. But no one after 4 days. Because after 4 days, decay would have begun. Verse 39. We read, Jesus said, take away the stone. Jesus commands the stone be removed from in front of the grave. But Martha cautions Jesus. Don't you know there's going to be a stench? He's been dead for 4 days. It will be awful. Verse 40, Jesus says to Martha, as those around her listen in, says to Mary, as those around her listen in, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? I want you to, if you're visualize better, close your eyes. I want to picture yourself on the scene. You're in the dusty hills. The dry wind is blowing. It's hot. You hear the sound of the stone grinding on other rocks as you're watching it roll away. And now you can pick up the smell of death as the winds bring it past, startling you. And then out of that silence, you hear Jesus' voice. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you send me. Lazarus, come out! Can you feel the tension as everyone's looking at the dark cave, waiting? Perhaps those who are doubting are angry at Jesus for this spectacle and what he's doing to Martha and Mary. Perhaps they're hoping. This is Jesus. What could he do? Then there's some movement visible at the entrance. Then a figure entirely wrapped in grave clothes, laden with spices, shuffles out into the sunlight. What do you think the crowd did? Jesus simply says, unbind him. Give your brother a hand. Unwrap him. Let him go. Here is the culmination of our other two readings being played out before a crowd of people, people expecting or experiencing deep sorrow, experiencing grief. And they're transported to a joyful reunion that was entirely unexpected. Mary, Martha, and their fellow mourners are those in Psalm 130 who cry out to the Lord from the depth of despair, who waited for the Lord to come, in whom is mercy, steadfast love, plentiful redemption. God the Son, Jesus, is the new Ezekiel calling the dead back to life, asking his Father in heaven to breathe life into Lazarus. This is the true meaning of salvation, life from death. New life in Jesus' name, replacing the death consequences of sin. The Apostle Paul, in our reading from Romans, referred to this new life as redemption from enslavement to sin, which leads to death. He made it clear. Into. This is redemption into the freedom of obedience unto the Lord, which is new life. Verse 23 of our reading from Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You who believe that Jesus is God the Son, who died for your sin, who then conquered death by his resurrection, you've been called out like Lazarus. You've been called into a new, into an eternal kind of life that begins the moment you receive the free gift of God. Response to Jesus' call demands obedience. Jesus called Lazarus, come out. There's the call, and Lazarus, he didn't stay in the grave. He couldn't resist the call of the Savior. He responded with obedience. He left his former existence. He left his former life. He left death behind and he walked out. And then he was released from his grave clothes. He needed help. Those close to him released him from his grave clothes and he forever left them behind. True faith in Jesus will lead to redemption, and it will lead to new life. That new life asks, that new life requires for one to let go of their former life, to let go of death, so that they may experience new life through the free gift in Jesus Christ. So if you have faith in Jesus today, he has called you out of former behaviors, of former sins. He's called you out from former idolatry into new life. Have you left it behind? Have you asked for help from others to unwrap you? Or are you still walking forward, carrying it around? When you hold on to your grave clothes, when you refuse to let go of those former things that Jesus has asked you for, you will be unable to fully experience the new life that he has for you. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be honest with yourself. Is the Lord asking you today to walk away or to let go of anything? To let go of sin, to let go of idolatry, to let go of resentment or anger. Jesus calls for you to come out and to leave death behind. My experience is that the new life Christ gives us, in that new life, we're never done letting go. Each step towards the Lord, each letting go of what he reveals and asks for, leads to deeper relationship. It leads to deeper faith. It leads to deeper peace, deeper trust in the Lord, and fortunately or unfortunately, to deeper letting go, deeper revealing as he continues to reveal. There will always be something for him to reveal this side of heaven. This fifth Sunday of Lent invites you to hear anew God's call to your dry bones, to your body weary from the depths of struggle, to your soul deep in the depths of misery or despair. Hear his call anew to your soul still struggling with sin. Come out! Come out. Receive the help of your church community to unwrap you. Ask for help. Ask for the help you need to find freedom. Hear the call of Jesus today. Repent of your sin, turn away and leave it behind. Jesus calls out to you today. Follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.